This is the weekly message from Northwest Community Church in Tampa, Florida. Pastor Scott Collins brings you the message.
Good morning. Happy Easter, which we call the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We believe that Jesus has risen. And when I say He is risen, your response should be, He is risen indeed. So let's try that again. He is risen.
He is risen.
One more time. He is risen.
He is risen.
Do you believe this morning that Jesus is risen? I believe that Christ has come to give us life, real life. And Easter is all about that. It's about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you were to sum up Easter in one word, we'd call it Jesus. It's not about dressing up. It's not about the flowers. It's not about the eggs. It's not about the rabbit. It's not about the candy. Even though I know you love the candy, but it's not about the candy. It's about Jesus Christ dying on a cross, laying in a tomb, and then resurrecting, coming back to life. The reality is, He's alive. Jesus is alive. He is risen. And so the real question is Jesus our only hope? Is Jesus Christ really our only hope? Is there any other way to get to heaven? Is there any other way to be saved? You know, Easter is the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And everything that we believe as Christ's followers rises and falls on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is the foundation, the bedrock of Christianity. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:14, he said, "And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith." Without the resurrection, there's no hope. There's a great guy who lived, who died, but if he's still in that tomb, we have no hope. No hope of salvation, no hope of eternal life, no hope of forgiveness. The Apostle Paul also said, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith, no matter how much faith you have, is worthless." You say, "But I have great faith." But if Christ isn't raised, it doesn't matter how much faith you have. It doesn't matter what you believe, because it's worthless unless we have something to put our faith in. You see, it's not faith that matters, it's what we place our faith in. It's the object of our faith that really counts. It's not because you have great faith. It's because you have a great God. The first question we have to answer for ourselves and not for anybody else is, did Jesus really rise from the grave? Do we believe that Jesus came as a substitute for our sins, the atoning sacrifice once for all? Was He really the Lamb of God who was slain before the foundation of the world? And did He die, lay in a tomb, and then raise? Is He really alive, or isn't He? That's the question that we have to answer for ourselves. Everything that Jesus did, He did out of love. Listen to me. If God didn't want you to be here this morning, if He didn't want your heart to keep beating, it would stop. You wouldn't have breath in your chest if it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ. Right now, you're alive. Your heart is beating. Your lungs are expanding. Why? Because God says so. And if He chose not to give you breath, if He chose to take your heart in a second, in a nanosecond, it would just stop. And so the reason you're here this morning is because God has given you life. But He's given you life for a purpose. It's bigger than just getting all the stuff you can, having all the fun you can. It's more than that. It's about knowing God, really knowing Him. And Jesus is that reconciliation. He's the one that provided a means for us to be reconciled back to the Father so that we could really know Him. And you have to understand that everything Jesus did, He did because He loved you. Everything that God does, He does because He loved you. And He didn't just say it. He didn't just say, "I love you." He demonstrated His love for you. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for our sins while we were still sinners. Look, before I was even born, Jesus died for me. Before I even knew I needed a Savior, Jesus died for me. Jesus died for us before we even thought we knew Him or knew anything about Him. He died for us in preparation for our salvation so that we could know Him. And I'm not asking you, and God's not asking you to make a promise that you can't keep. I'm asking you to believe a promise that only God can keep. Only God can save you. Only God can keep you. Only God can carry you through this life. Only God can give you the answers because He's the only one who's sufficient. It's all in Jesus. And the resurrection proves that Jesus Christ is who He said He claimed to be. It proves it to us. It shows the reality of His divinity, that He really is God. John tried to explain that to his readers. He said in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was what? With God. But then he clarified it, and the Word was God. Jesus wasn't just some created being. He's divine. He's eternal. He's been here from eternity past. He's always been with the Father. You say, well, why is that important? Because God became flesh. Because God wrapped Himself in humanity. And the reason He wrapped Himself in humanity was to save us. John 17:3, one of my favorite verses, says, now this is eternal life, that they may know the true God and Jesus Christ, whom You've sent. God offers us eternal life, and He does it through His Son. And that's why Jesus came to earth. John said in verse 14, and it's critical, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. He wants us to know Him. He came to this world, born in a manger, lived a perfect life, sinless, as an example for us, and then laid down His life. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only. There's no one like Jesus, who came from the Father full of grace and truth. Maybe you're thinking, okay, so maybe He did come. And maybe He did die. And maybe He did raise from the grave. But what does that have to do with me? That was 2,000 years ago. Look, I don't care if you're 1 hour from the resurrection or 2,000 years from the resurrection. His life can still have power over you. His life can still change you. We're talking about resurrection power. The power that brought Jesus from the grave is available to you and to me. You can experience Christ in a way that you never have. And the power of the resurrection was expressed in the changed lives of the disciples. They were all changed by what they saw, by what they experienced. You can't have an encounter with the living God and not be changed forever. Mark 16:20 says that then the disciples went out and preached everywhere. Why? Because of what they saw. While Jesus was being crucified, the disciples were crouching in fear. They were running for their lives. These same men, after witnessing the resurrection, went from being cowards to courageous and boldly proclaiming the Word of God everywhere. They all died for their faith, speared to death, sawed in two, stoned, beheaded. They laid down their lives because they saw a risen Savior. He is risen. Man, you guys are slow. Not enough caffeine in those veins yet. Let's try it again. He is risen. Man, He's alive. And that resurrection power that He offers is right here for us. That's what Paul meant when he said in Philippians 3, he used the phrase resurrection power. He said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. That same power that brought Jesus back from the grave is available for you and for me. Three events occurred in dramatic succession in this Easter over 2,000 years ago. The trial of Jesus and then the death of Jesus, and then the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus actually went through 6 trials in an 18-hour span. 6 trials in over 18 hours after being mocked and beaten and mocked and beaten in between the trials. 6. He went before Annas, the father-in-law of Caiaphas, and then he went before Caiaphas, the high priest, and then he went before the Sanhedrin, which is like the religious supreme court. And then he was sent over to Pilate, and Pilate didn't want anything to do with him, so he sent him to Herod, who was the governor of Galilee. And then they sent him back to Pilate, and Pilate ordered him to be crucified. So at the end of these 6 trials, they accused him of what? Nothing. They couldn't find anything that he had done wrong. They couldn't find any real reason to convict him. So they brought in people who made up phony charges. They said, well, I saw him do this, and I heard him say that. And finally, they convicted him on 1 account, claiming to be the Son of God. The sole reason that Jesus went to the cross was because he was the Son of God. He wasn't a criminal. He wasn't a liar. He wasn't a thief. He was and is the Son of God. Everyone who has ever been presented with Jesus has already made some kind of decision in their heart about what they believe and who he is. Either you believe that he is a liar and out of his mind, or maybe you believe that he's a lunatic and he was just a crazy man running around. Or maybe you believe that he was the Lord. And if you believe that he was a Lord that has extreme examples for us to follow. Because if you really believe that Jesus is God, then everything he taught we are accountable for and responsible to. You know, some people think, well, I just think Jesus was a good man. He was a good teacher. You know, he was a good person. Maybe he was a prophet. Maybe he wasn't. I don't know, but he was really a good guy. But that's impossible. Because if he was really a good guy, would a good guy lie? Would a good person who's really good and ethical and a man of integrity say, hey, I am the only way? That if you've seen me, you've seen the Father? That we are one? See, he couldn't be a good person. He either has to be a liar, he has to be a lunatic, or he has to be the Lord. Jesus even claimed himself in John 12:24 and 47. He said, I have come not to judge the world, but to save it. His desire is to offer salvation to us, to open up our hearts. And Easter celebrates the event that proves that Jesus was who he claimed to be. It is the most critical, foundational aspect of our faith. We believe that Jesus was God in the flesh and that he came to earth to save us. And that's why he's here. After being beaten and mocked and shipped around, he was nailed to a cross. Now, out of all the types of execution, out of all throughout the centuries, there has never been a type most brutal and torturous as the death penalty devised by the Romans. They magnified this thing. They made it the worst that you could even imagine. His hands were stretched out wide on the cross. And then the nails were drove through the bones, piercing the nerves that would run up his arm, causing excruciating pain. And then when you hang that way for so long, expanded, and all your weight pulling down, the muscles around your chest cavity get so tight that you can't breathe. And the way people died really was suffocation, because they couldn't breathe. But that wasn't enough for the Romans. So they would bend their knees just enough so they would put their feet together and then drive a spike through their feet. So that when they couldn't breathe anymore and the pain was so bad and they couldn't take it, they would push up off their legs with that spike driven through their feet just so they could get a breath. More pain than a person should ever bear. Absolute agony. When they felt like their chest was about to explode, they would push up and grab a breath. And then when the pain in the feet was unbearable, they would let themselves back down and they would just hang there, all the weight pulling on their lungs. And then finally, after enough suffering and enough torture, 6, 7, 8 hours of hanging there, the Roman soldiers would come along and they would break the legs so they couldn't push up anymore. They would just pound through their legs until they just hung there and died. But when they came to Jesus, he was already dead because he had power over life and death. He said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And then he said, "It is finished." And he gave up his spirit. He died. So when they came to Jesus, just to make sure he was really dead, they plunged a spear into his side. And the Bible says water and blood flowed. And that separation is proof to us that he was really dead. He wasn't in a coma. He didn't faint. He died. And it's critical to believe that. You say, why? Why do we have to believe that Jesus really died? Because he alone is able to pay for our debt. He alone is able to appease a holy God. He is our propitiation. He is our atoning sacrifice. He's the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. And without him, there is no hope. Peter said it like this: "For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God." He died to bring you to God, to reconcile you back to the Father. He gave his life so that we might have life. Jesus Christ is the Son of God who laid down his life, the righteous for the unrighteous. The prophet Isaiah said it like this: "Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." When Jesus hung on that cross, God took every sin that I will ever commit and he put it on Jesus. And Jesus carried that sin away. He took it as far as the east is to the west. And the Bible says he will remember it no more. He'll never hold my sins against me, which makes me righteous, which makes me holy in his sight. Because all my sins have been cast as far as the east is to the west, and they never come back. They'll never meet again. I'll never have to efface them again. And so when my accuser, the enemy, tries to accuse me of my sins, I remind him of my Savior. Jesus laid down his life so that we could be saved. Now that does something for me. The resurrection of Jesus Christ does something for me. It motivates me to be faithful. I want to love him and I want to serve him. I want to be faithful because he died for me and he's alive. The resurrection verifies his divinity. The resurrection is the most important single event in history. Because without the resurrection, there is no hope. Which means there's no forgiveness, there's no salvation, and there's no peace. Do you believe that Jesus rose from the grave? Do you believe that he is risen? He's alive today. If you just pay attention to the world, what you'll see is this insatiable desire to discredit his miracles, to discredit his life. People say he wasn't really here, he wasn't this, he wasn't that. Well, if he wasn't who he said he was, then why so much effort in trying to disprove him, trying to keep him from us? Why is the world working so hard? Because they know, just like we know, that if he was who he said he was, then we are completely responsible and accountable to everything that Jesus taught. Because if he's God, it is our responsibility to obey him as God, to believe in his teachings, to follow them, to live them, to honor him in everything we do. I mean, what do you do with John 14:6? When Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by, nobody can get there without Jesus. So what do you do with that? If he really is the Son of God, that means everybody you know, everybody you work with, everybody you've ever associated with is either going to heaven or they're going to hell. Everyone. And our job isn't to play patty cake with them. Our job is to share the gospel with them. And if you believe that Jesus is the only way, then that will motivate you to share the gospel, to plead with them, to urge them, to pray for them, to do all you can do to reach them, because you know that eternity hangs in the balance if Jesus is who he said he was. Listen, because I believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, because I believe that, it requires me to honor him and to obey his teachings. If I believe that he rose from the dead, I have to obey his word because I believe in my heart that he is God. It changes my loyalties. Resurrection living makes me a different person with different values. I have to have new desires, new ambitions, new loyalties. I'm not even loyal to myself anymore. My loyalties lie with him and him alone, because he has to be first in my life, because he alone is God. He's the one who died for me. He's the one who saved me. He's the one who gave his life for me. It's like Jesus talking to the disciples when people were leaving him. Jesus looks and he says, are you going to leave me too? The Bible says in John 6:66 and 69, it says, from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12, but Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Listen, if you believe in the resurrection, it will change your life. It motivates me to be faithful. The resurrection of Jesus Christ motivates me also to walk in freedom. Look, I'm free because of what Jesus did for me. Because of the reality that he's alive, I am free. I am no longer bound to my sin. I am no longer a slave to my sin. His death set me free. Thank you, Jesus. I don't have to live in sin anymore. I'm not a slave to my sin, to my addictions, to my habits, to my hang-ups. I am free. Romans 6, verse 5 and 7 says, if we have been united with him like this in his death, we will also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. When Jesus died on that cross, I died with him. My old self was crucified, and I have a new life because I'm a new creation. Paul went on to say in verse 8, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. And then he went on to say, in the same way, talking to you and talking to me, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin. You don't have to let sin reign in your body. You don't have to give in to its powers, to its temptations, to its lust. You have the power to say no to sin if you believe in Jesus. If you've truly put your faith in him, you can count yourselves dead to sin but alive to God in Jesus Christ. Jesus himself said, whoever the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. Don't you want to be free? If you want to be free, put your faith in Jesus. Put your faith in the risen Son of God who loved you, wrapped himself in flesh, hung on that cross, suffered the most painful, excruciating death that anyone could ever bear. and rose from the grave to give us hope and to give us life. That's our God. And what he wants from us is in a response is that we would live a crucified life. That's why Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, he said, I am crucified with Christ. Why are you crucified? Because you're free. He said, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Right? We're free. So he said, stand firm. Stand firm in that freedom and do not let yourself be yoked again to the slavery. It's the slavery of your sin. You are free. You say, well, how do I find that, Scott, as a believer? If I put my faith in Christ, how do I learn to really walk with Jesus? You learn to live a crucified life. That's the Galatians 2:20 principle. It's called the crucified life. When Paul said, and you have to understand this, when he said, I have been. Have been is past tense. It's something that already happened. You have to understand that if you put your faith in Christ, that you were crucified with Jesus, that the old you is gone, that you have a new you, a new life with new ambitions, with new thoughts, with new desires, with new hopes, with a new direction, new loyalties. So when Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, he says, and I no longer live. You have to surrender your life. You have to lay it down and realize that I'm free, but I'm free because I let go. I am free. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Now your life is Christ. It's not yours anymore. It's Christ in you. And Paul said in Philippians 1:21, he says, to live is Christ. And then he said, but to die is gain. You see, we run from death. Like, oh, I don't want to die. I want to live as long as I can. We should run to death. Because that's our hope, is to see Jesus face to face. To love him and to know him. To be like him. But while we're alive, we live this crucified life, realizing that our life is not our own. That it doesn't belong to us. That we are dead. I no longer live, he said, but Christ lives in me. He says, the life I live by what? Faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Look, if you put your faith in Jesus, it will change the way you think. You'll think differently. It'll change everything in light of your relationship to Jesus. Everything I do now is in light of my relationship to Jesus. It changed everything about me. It's constantly shaping me and moving me. It means that my life, it won't always be easy. Neither will yours. But that's okay. Because it's not my own. My life belongs to him because I believe that he's alive and that he died for me and that he gave himself for me. And even though things are hard sometimes, I realize that they're just temporary. It's like what the Apostle Paul said, and he faced more than we can even imagine. He said, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes. We don't focus on what's going on around us. We don't focus on our struggles and our problems, on our crisis. So we fix our eyes. Man. Not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary. It's all just passing by. But what is unseen is eternal. Listen to me, if you fix your eyes on the world, you'll be stressed. If you look into your own heart, you'll be depressed. But if you learn to look at Jesus, you'll be blessed. You need to keep your eyes on Jesus. You got to get your eyes off the world. You got to get your eyes off your problems. You got to get your eyes off the struggles and put them on Jesus. Believing in the resurrection, believing that Jesus is my Savior, it changes my perspective on everything. It changes my perspective on trials and tribulation. It changes my perspective on people and things. It changes my perspective on life and death. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was blind, But now I see. I have a new perspective. God has given me 20/20 vision. I can see everything clearly because of what He's done for me. I know that He is always with me. I am more than a conqueror. And so are you if you put your faith in Jesus. That's what Romans 8:36 says. We are more than conquerors. Know in all these things, verse 37, that we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced, and I hope you are too, that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, or anything in all creation will be able to separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you believe that this morning? That nothing will ever separate you from His love. That He has you in His hands. And He wants to use you. The reason He saved you was to use you for His glory. He's made you a brand new creation. All your sin is washed away. That's why He says that if you're in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if anyone is in Christ, he is what? A new creation. It's brand new because you were crucified on the cross. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new because we are in crisis. We are in Christ and we don't have to live with our struggles and our pain and our sin. We can be free. Look, if you believe that He's alive, if you believe that He died for your sins and that He died to save you, that sets you free. And if you're free, you're free in Jesus Christ. I am free because He lives. Not just because He died, but because He rose. I am free, and that freedom motivates me to follow Jesus with all my heart. I want to follow Jesus because I believe He was the Son of God. I believe that He wrapped Himself in flesh. He walked this earth and He died. And if you don't believe it, I challenge you to study it. Because if there's anything that is worth studying or looking into, it would be your eternal life. Because everything hangs in the balance for us if Jesus is who He says He is. And let's say I'm wrong, all right? And I live my whole life surrendered to Him and I die and there's nothing. What did I lose? I became more loving. I became more caring. I became more giving. I became more kind. I served others. I gave myself away to the benefit of other people. What did I lose? So if I'm wrong, I lose nothing. But if you're wrong and I'm right and you live for yourself and you live for your pleasure and you live for your things and you die and I'm right, you're separated from God, from Him for all eternity. Forever and ever and ever in a place we call hell. Just the word itself lets you know it's not good. You see, I might not know a lot, but I know one thing. That Jesus Christ died for my sins. And that there's a God and I'm not Him. And neither are you. And He's in control of all my life. I believe that with all my heart, that Jesus Christ is in control of everything in my life. And that I can trust Him. That He's alive and He walks with me. And He talks with me. And He tells me that I'm not alone. He's always there for me. Because He loves me. And He wants to live in me and through me for His glory. He wants you to surrender everything you have. He wants you to lay it all down. He wants you to stop focusing on your struggles, on your business, on your careers. I'm not saying that you can't work because you need to work. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have a good job, that you shouldn't have ambitions, but your ambitions should be His ambitions. Your desires should be His desires. You say, Lord, what do you want for me? How do you want to use me? And if He leads you to an area and wants to use you, be the best that you can be. The Bible says, work as unto the Lord. So what you're doing when you go to work is you're glorifying God where you are, and you're in constant fellowship with Him because you're talking to Him and you're singing to Him and you're thinking about Him and you're meditating on Him and you're allowing the Word of God to fill up your heart and to fill up your mind so that you are His representative. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians that we are His ambassadors. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that we are His ambassadors. We are sent into the world to let the world know that He's alive. That He's alive. Can people tell that Jesus is alive by the way you live? Do they know that there's a risen Savior by the way you live your life, by the way you communicate, by the way you share? Can they look at you and say, man, there must be a God? Because I can see His love in you. I can see His grace on you. I can see His peace in your heart. Or do you get all stressed when things go bad? Would you freak out when things don't go the way you want them to? Like, oh man, I can't deal with this. Next thing you know, you're flipping cuss words out everywhere. You're throwing things. You're having a breakdown. Are you somebody who does whatever you want to do? You don't say, Lord, is this going to honor You? Is this going to bring You glory? Is this going to help the world to see that You're alive? Or do you just go through your day just doing whatever you want to do, not even thinking about Jesus? Because if you believe He's alive, it should motivate you to be a Christ follower, not a Christian. We've maligned the word in our culture. We say, oh, I'm a Christian. Well, how do you know you're a Christian? I was born in America. It doesn't make you a Christian. The word Christian comes from the word Christos, and it means little Christ ones, little Jesuses. I prefer Christ follower. Because Jesus said often, if you follow Me, you can be My disciple. You see, we've separated the two terms between Christianity and disciple, but they're the same. There is no difference. If you're not a disciple, you're not a Christian. And if you are a Christian, you're a disciple. Because you're following Jesus with all your heart. There is no in between. You say, yeah, but I prayed a prayer. I walked an aisle. So what? You think that's going to save you? Because you prayed a prayer, you walked an aisle? Doesn't matter what you did. It matters who you are. Are you following Jesus? Is Christ alive in you? Praying a prayer doesn't assure you of anything. There's nowhere in the scriptures where it says if you pray a prayer, you're going to be saved. Nowhere. You can't find it. Shouldn't that be strange to us? That we proclaim something that we can't even find in scripture? And yet all across America, there'll be churches everywhere today asking people to pray a prayer to invite Jesus. You can't invite Jesus. He invites you. He's God. You're not. Like we're doing Him some big favor. Here's my life. I'm so great. I know you want Me. And then we commend ourselves. Yeah, I gave myself to Jesus. Jesus draws us. Jesus calls us. Jesus saves us and He keeps us. He is in the sanctifying business, changing us and shaping us. And if you're truly His, then His Holy Spirit's tugging on your heart right now. His Holy Spirit's calling you. He calls you. You respond. Because He's God and you're not. And so if the Holy Spirit is calling you, then listen. The reality is that He gave His life. And I can only talk for me and hopefully you too. I hope that you know Him. And I know that makes me and motivates me. It moves me to want to live for Him with all that I am. I love what Paul said. And I quote this verse all the time because I think about it all the time. I think about it and I meditate on it because it's powerful. Paul says, for Christ's love. What love? The love that He displayed on the cross. The love that He showed us when He came and He lived and He died. For Christ's love compels us. Compels. Shoots me forward. It motivates me. It springs me into action. It launches me. I mean, I'm launched into this new life. I am compelled. I am motivated. It's like He just shot me out of a cannon. It compels us. Because we are convinced. See, that's where knowing in your head and in your heart that this is true. Because we are convinced Are you? That one died for all. That one died for all, and therefore all died. I can't live to myself anymore. It's not about what I want. It's not about what you want. It's about what He wants for you. He has you in this world for a reason. It's not about just your own pleasure. It's not about your own pursuits. Look, God gives us all things to enjoy, and those are benefits of knowing Him. I love golf, but I don't love it more than Jesus. I love my family, but I don't love them more than Jesus. I love vacations, but I don't love them more than Jesus. God allows me to enjoy this life, but it's not the purpose of my life. My purpose isn't here just to have so much fun, to enjoy this and enjoy that. It's not my purpose. My purpose is to glorify Him. That's my purpose, to glorify Him in all that I do. And then I enjoy the pleasures that He allows me, that He affords me, because He is God. And because I am convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died, I'm dead. It's not about what I want. And then He goes on to say, read this with me, and He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again. We should no longer live for ourselves. And you have to ask yourself, have I been living for myself? Living for my retirement? Living for my future? Living for my kids? Because that's all about living for yourself. You got to ask yourself. Because the reality is that God made Him who had no sin. Jesus didn't have any sin. He was perfect to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. So when the world sees us, because we are His ambassadors, they see the righteousness of God. See, when we live for Him, His righteousness flows through us, because it's no longer about what we want or what we do. It's about loving Him and honoring Him and sharing Him. So we serve one another. We give. We care. We pray. Look, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not telling you to boast, but I just want you to know the reality. All right? Never mind. I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to say it. Because then you'll think I'm boasting, and I'm not. And I don't want to be proud, and I don't want you to think that that's why I'm telling you. So I'm not going to tell you. But the reality is that we need to bring glory and honor to Him in all that we do. So I have to ask you this morning a straight up question. Do you believe? Do you really believe? If we confess with our mouths and believe in our hearts that Jesus is the Son of God and that God has raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. You shall be saved. Romans 10, 9 and 10. For it's with your mouth that you confess and believe. Do you really believe? Because if you really believe, there's changes. Just like right now, if I said, hey, the church is on fire. If you really believe me, you'd be like, ah, I got to get out of here. Look for an exit. Let's go. Grab my kids. Move. You'd be motivated to do something. If I was talking to you and I said, I'm going to punch you in the nose, and I looked at you square in the eyes, and if you believe me, I guarantee you, you'd duck. You'd start moving back. You'd be like, uh-oh, here it comes. Why? Because you believed. True faith requires action. That's why James says faith without works is dead. Not because you're saved by your faith, but because when you are saved, it moves you. It challenges you. It changes you. If you believe, really believe, and I'm asking you today to say, Lord, I surrender. I surrender all. All my thoughts, all my ambitions, all my desires. I surrender them to You because I believe that You are the Son of God and You are the only hope I have. And so if you believe today, I'm asking you to do that. To say, God, I'm Yours. Here's my life. Use me. Because Jesus said, when He talked about the count, the cost of discipleship, He said, in the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. You got to let it all go. You got to say, Lord, I just want to live for You. And then let Him lead you and guide you. You say, yeah, what if He makes me sell everything and move to Africa. Doesn't really matter. Because I promise you, if he gives you the desire to sell everything and move to Africa, you'll be happy in Africa. And you won't be happy anywhere else. Because whenever he calls you, he leads you. And where God guides, he provides. He takes care of all the things inside and outside. So you don't got to worry about any of that. Actually, the truth is, when you surrender to Jesus, you don't have to worry about anything anymore at all. Period. It's done. Because he said, who of you might worry and can add a single hour to your life? He said, but you, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's what he said, right? So he said, why do you worry about tomorrow? Tomorrow has enough worries of its own. Don't focus about tomorrow. Live in the moment. Right here, right now. Connect with God wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Trust him. Walk with him. Lean on him. Look to him. Think about him. Fill your heart and your mind with him. Repent from not trusting him with all your heart. Easter is an opportunity to say, Lord, I want to repent from my life of not trusting in you all the time and living for you all the time and leaning on you. And I want to live for you. I want to love you. I want to glorify you. I want to be your righteousness to the world. Repent means to have a change of mind, which brings about a change of heart. It means you're going in this direction. And you say, wait a minute, that's not pleasing God. I don't want to live that way. So you have a change of mind. Brings about a change of heart. And now you're going the other way. Now you're running to God. You're saying, I want to lean on you. I want to love you. I want to worship you. And you alone. And when you do that, when you surrender, when you give yourself, you'll have peace like you've never experienced. And you'll have joy that can only come from knowing him. That's my prayer for you. That's my hope. That on this Easter Sunday, you will believe that he is risen. That he is really alive. And that he's living in your heart. If you know him, you repent, you turn to him, he lives in you. And he'll be alive in you forever. And he will lead you for all eternity. Will you pray with me? If you're here today, I just want you to humble your heart and say, God, I need to repent. I have not been living for you. I have not been loving you. You haven't been the first thing on my mind. You haven't been a part of my daily meditation. You haven't been a part of my goals. Lord, I've been living for myself and just tell him right now, Lord, I want to turn from that, from living for myself, and I want to turn to you. And I want to love you. I want to know you. Or do what I did 30 years ago. Just say, God, I don't even know if you're real, because I didn't. But I said, Lord, if you are really real, would you step out of heaven and step into my heart? That's what I prayed. I said, God, if you're real, show me. Reveal yourself to me. Change my life. And 30 years ago, Jesus Christ stepped out of heaven and he stepped into my heart. And I've never been the same. Lord, we come to you today. God, and I want to lift up my brothers and sisters that know you. Father, I pray that today their light would shine, that they would love you and glorify you and honor you in all things. God, that you would be their power, that we would experience that resurrection power. And Father, for those that are here today that have thought about you but don't really know you, God, I pray that you would bring them into a saving relationship, that you would save them from their sin. God, that you would open their eyes to your truth, that you would transform their lives and minds, that they would, from this moment forward, be aware of you. And that you would call them and pull on their hearts. God, and that you would use them for your glory and for your honor. We love you. But most of all, we thank you. We thank you for coming to earth and wrapping yourself in flesh and dying for our sins so that we could be forgiven. So that we could find freedom. So that we could be saved. And God, help us to live for you and to honor you and to glorify you. So that we might become your righteousness and the world might see you in us. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. For more information, visit us at nwcc777.com.